Again, thank you for being in the house of the Lord. I believe the Lord wants to speak to us tonight. I really do. And I just feel a weight of responsibility to deliver the word of the Lord. And I want us to be sensitive to the moving of the Spirit. You don't have to stand, but right there, if you would you just close your eyes one more time? Let's just pray that our hearts would be prepared for the moving of the Spirit of God, as God would desire to speak to us tonight. I wonder if somebody could just open up your mouth right now and just begin to pray. Just begin to seek God. Just ask Him to prepare your own heart. Not somebody else's, but your own heart right now for the moving of His Spirit. Whatever He would desire to do, however He would desire to move, whatever He would desire to speak into our hearts right now. Help us to be sensitive to the moving of His Spirit. God, we want your word to go forth with power. We want your word to go forth with unction.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. 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 Asata la boko ya la basata la rabaka yande reboshia. Let your word go forth. 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 Let your word go forth.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, our day of visitation. Our day of visitation. I didn't tell the control room up there the title, but if you would want to just put that title from Sunday back up. Let me start off by saying that if you consider this to be your church home, and if you desire to be a part of what God is doing in our midst, and if you were not here this past Sunday, I want to encourage you to get the download from that service, because God spoke to us in a very, very powerful, powerful way. I believe God began something on Sunday. I feel it so strong in my spirit even as I stand here right now. I believe God began something. He is beginning to speak to us concerning something very powerful that He desires to do in our midst. Oh, hallelujah. And as a quick recap to those that were here, and as a brief introduction to those that were not here, I turn you back to our text from Sunday, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. 1 Peter 2 and verse 12. Let me just say, as you're turning there, it's not necessary for you to have been here Sunday in order to understand the fullness of what God is going to do in tonight's service. But I want to turn your attention to our text, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, ready, glorify God in the day of visitation. Somebody say, the day of visitation. It is this day of visitation that God spoke to us about on Sunday in such a powerful, powerful way. It's this day of visitation that God spoke to us about last night. Obviously, this week, if you've been coming to church, if you're a member of this church, you'll know that we were announcing that this week was our 3 days of prayer and fasting. We appreciate everyone who has joined with us in these 3 days of fasting and joined with us last night in revival prayer. Amen. How many know if you were here last night, could you just testify of the power of God that fell in this room in prayer meeting last night? God met with us. He met with us. That's the only way we can describe it. God met with us in a very powerful way last night, and He dealt with us and talked to us yet again about this day of visitation. I believe it is the will of God. I said it Sunday. I'll say it again tonight. I believe it is the will of God for our world one more time, for God to visit our world one more time with a final harvest, with one final outpouring of his spirit before this whole thing wraps up. How many know it's wrapping up soon? How many know you can't even read the newspaper or watch the news without understanding that this whole thing, this world is wrapping up? Signs of the end times are all around us. But what I feel in my spirit, burning in my spirit, is that before that rapture takes place, before that trump sounds, there's going to be one final move of God's presence upon the world. There's going to be one final outpouring of his goodness. There's going to be one final outpouring of his presence. And we are speaking of it, and God is speaking of it here as a day of visitation. It's not going to be something that we can establish. It's not going to be something that we can orchestrate. It's not going to be something that we can do by ourselves. That it's not anything that we're going to be able to usher in with our own abilities or with our own talents. For this day of visitation will be a divine move of the Holy Ghost. This day of visitation will be an outpouring of God's Spirit like has never been seen before. This day of visitation will not fit into anything that we've ever heard of before. It won't fit into anything that we've ever seen before. We will not be able to package it in moves of God in days gone by. We will not be able to control it. We will not be able to say this is what it's going to look like based upon things we've already seen before. But the Holy Ghost is telling us the moment that you begin to try to declare what it's going to be is the moment you're not going to see it. Because when you begin to say what it's going to look like is the moment that you're going to be able to take the glory for when it happens. But when you just step back and say, hey, I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know what it's going to look like. All I know is I want to see it. All I know is I want to be a part of it. All I know is I want to be right in the middle of it. If he wants us to go right, we'll go right. If he wants us to go left, we'll go left. However he wants this day of visitation to look like, however he wants to do it, it's God. And he's sovereign, and he can do it however he wants to do it. And we say, so be it. We just want it. We want to be a part of it. We want our church to be a part of it. I want to be in the middle of the final day visitation of the presence of God. If that's the way you feel, put your hands together, give him praise in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This day of visitation is going to be released upon a particular location. It's going to be released upon a particular people, particular period of time, in order that they might experience this day of visitation that God is promising us. But then the Holy Ghost spoke to us on Sunday concerning the fact that just because a day of visitation has been promised does not mean that it will be experienced. Just because it's been prophesied about does not mean it's automatically going to be experienced by everybody. I take you to the word of the Lord, Jesus speaking. Luke chapter 19 and verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, speaking of Jerusalem, and he wept over the city, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this day of visitation, the things which belong unto thy peace, the things I wanted to give you. He said, if you would have known the things that I wanted to give to you in your day of visitation, but now they are hid from thine eyes. You don't see it. You missed it. Verse 43, for the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Why? Because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. He said, I came to visit you. I came to give you things that belong, that was going to give you peace, things that belong to you, things that I had prophesied to you, things that had your name on it. He said, I came to give these things to you. He said, but you missed it. You missed your day, your time of visitation. So we understand that the Lord desired to do something greater in their midst, greater in their in this city. And he wanted to give them things that would increase their peace, things that had been prophesied to them. But they didn't recognize him for who he was as the Messiah. The Messiah showed up, but they didn't recognize him as the Messiah. And so as he was there visiting him, them, in order to give them what he promised for them, they didn't realize that it was him. They missed their day of visitation. This city, this people that should have been so blessed, missed out on everything that God had for them. But it's the next few verses that I feel give greater clarification of what was truly happening in this day. And this is what we talked some of about on Sunday. It's the next few verses that I want us to key in on. For the very next verse says this. Jesus just says, hey, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you missed it. You missed your moment. I had so much for you, so much promise for you, prophesied for you, but you missed your day of visitation. And then the very next verse, Luke 19:45, and Jesus went into the church and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Notice, and I need your minds here, the Lord cries over the entire city because they had missed the day, the time of their visitation. And the very first thing that he does in the city was to go to the church in order to see the condition of the church. Why? I believe it was because he understood that as goes the church, so goes the city. For in the church, he shows up to the church. He looks at the city and says, you guys have missed it. And then he says, I think I know why the city missed your day of visitation. Let me go see if my hunch is correct. Let me go see what's going on in the church. Oh, hallelujah. And in the church, he found a bunch of people that were more concerned about making money than they were about praying. In the church, he found a bunch of people that were more enamored with that which they could accomplish with their own hands, that which they could gain, that which they could attribute to themselves and add to their own living, gain to their own lives, instead of interceding on behalf of their city and their time. In the church, it's quiet now. He found a bunch of people that were obviously more caught up with their plans, their wishes, their thoughts, their desires, their dreams, and their wants, instead of a people that were sold out and completely dedicated and willing to make whatever sacrifice necessary in order to accomplish what God desired to do most in their midst. In the church, he found a people that knew all the right church things to say. If you could let me say it like he, these people knew how to have church. They knew the workings of the church. They knew everything that had to take place in the church. They had the church lingo down. They had the church vocabulary down. They had all the right church moves, and they knew how to make all the right churchy things happen, but there was no depth to them. There was no spiritual passion for something more. And because there was no spiritual hunger in the church, then in turn, that caused there to be no spiritual hunger in the city. And so God looks over the city. Jesus looks over the city and he says, Jerusalem, you missed it. You missed it. You missed it. But then he says, I know why you missed it. You missed it because there can't be hunger in a city if there's not first hunger in a church. There cannot be spiritual hunger for a city if there's not first spiritual hunger in the church house. And because he couldn't find any spiritual hunger in the church, both the church and the city missed their day of visitation. So if this day of visitation, my friend, is going to happen, and if this miraculous day of visitation is going to be released upon the worlds in which you and I live, then it first has to be released in the church. There first has to be a day of visitation in the church before there will ever be a day of visitation in our cities. Well, the world just needs to change. The world just needs to get better. The world just needs Jesus. The church needs Jesus. The church needs to get better. The church needs to get refocused on the things of God. Well, the church just needs a Pentecost. The world just needs a Pentecost. I've come to preach. The church needs another Pentecost. And when the church gets another Pentecost, that's when it's going to spill out of the church like it did on the day of Pentecost. And it's going to get into the streets. And then 3,000 will be saved. And then 5,000 will be saved. But the church needs another Pentecost. Oh. If we're going to witness this day of visitation, it's going to take a spiritual hunger that drives us to our knees in prayer. Spiritual hunger that drives us to the house of God with an expectancy. I mean, no, there's a difference between coming to the house of God and coming to the house of God with an expectancy in our hearts. There's a difference between saying it's Thursday and it's Sunday, so I go to church on these days. I don't put a lot of thought to it. I just know that that's what I do. There's a difference between that and a sense of expectancy where all day and all week leading up to service, there's something burning within you that says, we're going to witness a move of the Spirit. We're going to witness an outpouring of God's presence. We're going to witness something we've never witnessed before. And I'll take it even a step further. It's not even something you're expecting to happen just on Thursdays and Sundays, but because that's defining God. That's putting God in a box. But when we believe for God to do what he said he's going to do, it can happen on a Monday, and we can see it on a Tuesday, and we can see it on a Wednesday. I'm going to let Brother Ryan talk about this possibly on Sunday, but this is what I'm talking about. Today, him and Sister Vivian, Sister Vera, was there any others? Sister Annette? Any others? We got a call a few weeks ago from a church in Florida, an apostolic church in Florida. A lady called us and said that she wanted us to go pray for her sister in Chicago for healing and to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so Brother Ron and Sister Annette and Sister Vivian and Sister Vera they all went there today, this afternoon. And we might have some video and some pictures for you on Sunday. But they went and they began to pray for this lady. And he said she got so close right there in her living room. She was praying, repenting, crying. Now, here we go. Here's some pictures. This is of the girl, right? Okay, so watch. Just stay with me here. They started praying for the elderly lady, and he said they prayed for her for almost an hour, and she almost received the Holy Ghost. But it was at her granddaughter. Her granddaughter was in the living room just kind of checking everything out. And a little while later, the granddaughter came over and started kind of joining with them in prayer. And Sister Annette and Brother Ron realized, hey, she's starting to feel God. There's something, God's beginning to visit this young 14-year-old girl in this living room. And so they begin to lay hands on her. And just a short little while, that girl received the gift of the Holy Ghost right there in the living room. Brother Ron heard her talking in tongues. There's the video right there. He heard her talking in tongues. He asked her afterwards, did you speak in tongues? She said, yeah, I didn't know what I was saying. I didn't know what was coming out of my lips. I'm talking about a day of visitation. You can't define it. It doesn't happen at 7:30 to 9 on Thursdays and 10:30 to 12:30 on Sundays. You can't put it in a box. He's wanting to break out. He's wanting to do things like we've never imagined. He's wanting to do things like we've never seen. But it's going to be a spiritual hunger. It's got to start with spiritual hunger in the church. And when that happens, it's going to spread out into the cities. Come on, put your hands together. Give him praise. Hallelujah. 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 I believe, Brother Ron, that was a glimpse. I believe that was a glimpse. I believe God was just showing us, hey, what I talked to you about on Sunday and what I talked to you about on Wednesday, this is the realities of it. I'm just giving you a glimpse. This is the tip of the iceberg. But if there's going to be a hunger in the altar, if there'll be a hunger in the pews, it's going to spark for there to be hunger in cities and in living rooms and in homes all across our city, all across our neighborhoods, all across our communities. There's going to be a hunger rising up in our high schools and our junior high schools and our college. I believe this with everything within me. God is looking for a people. As goes the church, so goes the city. And he's looking for a people. If in the church we'll be hungry for a move of God, then there will be a hunger that is released in the cities. It's going to take a spiritual hunger like we've never witnessed before. Hear me. Hear me. If in the natural, think with me now. If in the natural, someone was truly, truly hungry, they would not allow that which was superficial, unimportant, or insignificant to sidetrack them from their pursuit of food. You get somebody that's truly hungry. It don't matter what's going on around them. They're not going to stop and watch a ball game. They're not going to stop and look at a beautiful field of flowers. The hunger is going to drive them. And I believe God is looking for a spiritual hunger to arise in our church that refuses to allow anything inconsequential, anything irrelevant, and anything negligible to sidetrack us from our pursuit of God's manifest destiny that is over us. That's the hunger I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a hunger that's that spiritual hunger that lasts for about 3 days. And then all of a sudden something comes up in our lives and we just get all engrossed in this new hobby or in this new thing. Nothing wrong with hobbies. But that's not the hunger that I'm talking about. I'm talking about a hunger that drives us. I'm talking about a hunger that pushes us forward. I'm talking about a hunger that causes us not to get sidetracked to the left or to the right, but we methodically put one foot in front of the other, marching as we heard on Sunday as an army, marching towards the destiny that God has established for us individually and us collectively. That's the kind of hunger that God is dealing with us about. Well, Pastor, I just don't know that it really takes all of that. I just don't know if we really have to push. I just don't know that we really have to go through all that and do all that. And it's a lot of work and it's a lot of effort. And I just don't really know if it takes all of that. I want you to hear the words of Jesus. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with a part. With that which is convenient. He said, I want you to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This is not the 20th commandment. This is not the commandment that he talks to you about after you've been in church for 30 years. This is the first commandment. This is the first thing that Jesus asks of us. It was to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And unless, let's go get a little quiet right now. But unless we are being obedient to that first commandment, then I do not see how we're ever going to be able to participate in the last day visitation that God has planned for our worlds. If we can't even be obedient to that, the first commandment, where we are loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And first and foremost, I'm frustrated with myself. First and foremost, I see the greatest need for change in myself. For I realize I need to be doing so much more for God than what I'm doing currently. I am spiritually, Brother Elijah, I'm spiritually upset with the fact that I haven't brought someone to church for a while. I'm upset that I haven't personally got someone to teach a home Bible study to. I've taught Bible studies, people come into the church and talk with them and teach them different things, but me personally finding someone outside of these four walls and teaching them a Bible study, it's been a little while since I've done that, and I'm frustrated spiritually over the fact. I'm upset that I sometimes allow distractions to sidetrack me from that which is most important in my life. I'm frustrated that I don't have a greater victory in certain areas of my living. And I know that if I was truly obedient to the verse of loving the Lord with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of the strength, that I would be doing so much better in those areas that I just mentioned to you. And I'm convicted, Brother Tapp. I'm convicted of these things. And God is dealing with me about these things. And I prayed yet again this afternoon. And I prayed and I cried out to God. And I asked him one more time to forgive me. And I repented of these things because I want to be so much better in these areas. And I just believe that there might be some others of you in this room that might feel the same way that I feel. You might not have the same failures that I have, but your failures are also being drawn into the light. You see, how many know that we can start just doing the church thing, and we can just come to the house of God, and we can just live for God, and we can just get into a rut, and we can just get into such a routine that we fail to recognize and we fail to see the sinfulness and the wrongness that is in our lives. But I believe the Holy Ghost is beginning to shed some light and draw out into the day some of these wrong things in our living. And I believe this past Sunday, and then again, I believe last night during church prayer, that there was a deep sense of wrong. There was a deep sense of personal sin that was felt in the lives of many. I don't know who it was, but as I was praying and as everybody was praying last night, I heard somebody crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." What is that? That's a sense of an understanding of his holiness. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the reason why this is all so very important is because the book says this. I'll stay with me now. The book says this, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. "As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." But watch. Verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I want to give them their day of visitation. If any man will open the door, I will come into him and I'll sup with him and he with me." Notice with me, there is a divine connection between true repentance and a visitation from God. You see it? In this verse, repentance goes hand in hand with the Lord visiting his people. Understand, greater revelation. Hear me, please hear me. Greater revelation of our failure hasn't been sent by God in order to demean us, to depress us, or to disgrace us. But rather it's been sent in order to prepare us and position us for a visitation of God's presence and God's anointing upon our lives. Somebody said amen. And as it is spoken of in this verse that we just read, so also shall I believe it will take place in the realities of the context of our current day. For if we will allow ourselves to be rebuked, and if we will allow ourselves to be chastened by the presence of God and by the word of God, and then in response to that rebuking and in response to that conviction, we would repent completely and deeply and sincerely, then our repentance, church, will make room, and our repentance will make allowance for that door to begin to be opened in our lives and in our homes and in our churches and in our neighborhoods and in our worlds, in order for God to visit us one more time with a visitation of his spirit like we've never experienced before. Halabosata. Halabosata. Church, hear me. I know we didn't shout as much on that as we have in prior points. But we have to understand that there is more to this day of visitation than shouting. There's more to this day of visitation than the miraculous. There's more to this day of visitation than a supernatural things taking place. Will all of those things happen? Yes. Will we experience all of those things? The greatest miracle that anybody could ever experience is receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we saw that today. Are we going to witness the miraculous in our day of visitation? Yes. Are we going to witness the supernatural? But I want us to understand it's more than us just starting to see miracles and us just starting to see supernatural things. But the reason why more cities and the reason why more churches have not experienced their day of visitation in its fullness is because so often we resist spiritual rebuke. And we rebuke and we resist God's chastening in our lives. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Are you still with me tonight? So often we resist it, and God begins to speak to us, and God begins to convict us, and God begins to chasten us, but we begin to resist, and we resist, and we resist. Do we want to see miracles? Yes. Do we want to see supernatural things? Yes. Do we want to have good church? Yes. Do we want to talk in tongues and run the aisles and sing the songs and have good church on Sundays? Yes, but when his spirit begins to speak to us about those deep, dark things in our lives that nobody else knows about, and he wants to begin to change those things in us, and he wants us to begin to get those things out of our living and get those things out of our life, when we begin to resist those things and we fight against those things, and all of a sudden we get ourselves into a place when we will not be able to experience our day of visitation. And so many times, and this is what God dealt with me about so strongly today for this church, so many times we look at the fact that we don't do what we used to do when we were out in the world. How many know that when you were out in the world and then you came into the church, there was a bunch of repenting that happened? Because there was a bunch of bad stuff you were doing. But now all of a sudden the problem is we get to a place that because we're not doing what we used to do when we were out in the world, we view that as some proof that we don't really have much to repent for. Am I right about it? Well, Pastor, I've been in church for 25 years. I don't smoke anymore. I don't gamble anymore. I don't cheat on my spouse anymore. I don't steal anymore. So I don't really know what I have left to repent for. But that leaves the church in the same place that it left the church of Laodicea. For they were the church that the Lord has spoken to concerning the fact that if they would repent, then he would come unto them and sup with them. The verse that we just read to you, he says, I'll stand at the door and knock, and if you'll open the door, hear my voice and open the door. He was talking to the church of Laodicea, but here was their problem. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. The angel of the church of Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." He's saying, "These things saith God." Verse 15. The Lord looks at this church and he says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and you're neither cold nor hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth." Verse 17. "Because you say, I am rich, and I am increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. And you know not that you are wretched, and you are miserable, and you are poor, and you are blind, and you are naked." Notice, here was a church and a people that thought of itself as needing nothing. We are everything that we're supposed to be. We're doing everything that we're supposed to do. We're walking and doing and accomplishing everything that we are supposed to accomplish. We are who we are supposed to be. When in reality, they were lukewarm. Stay with me, please. When in reality, they were wretched. Where in reality they were miserable and they were poor and they were blind and they were naked. So many things they needed to repent over. So many things they needed to get right with God over. So many things that they needed to allow the convicting power of God's presence to work at in their lives. And yet they must have been resisting all of that in order to allow themselves to get to a place where they said, "Everything about us is good. We do not see one thing within us that is wrong." And I don't want to miss my day of visitation because of my refusal to allow God's Spirit to deal with me concerning the sin, the wrong that is in my life. I want to know everything I'm doing wrong. I want to hear every time. I want to hear from God an area, every area that I am falling short in. I want God to hammer me about every area in my life where I am not pleasing to Him. Why? Because a day of genuine repentance is divinely connected with a day of genuine visitation. And if we're going to have a visitation, it's going to take repentance, along with many other things, but it's going to take repentance. And so do we want to just shout about a day of visitation, or do we actually want to see a day of visitation? See, you got to ask yourself the question, why is it how many other churches, how many other people shouted about a day of visitation but never saw a day of visitation? I don't want to just talk about it. I don't want to just shout about it. I don't want to just high-five one another and shake one another's hand and say, someday, like the Jews did, someday the Messiah's coming. Someday the Messiah's coming. Someday the Messiah's coming. And the Messiah said, "You missed it. I was there and you missed it. I was there and you weren't prepared for it. I was right in your midst and you didn't know it. You missed your day of visitation." I don't want to just keep talking about a day of visitation until Jesus comes. I want to experience a day of visitation. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We're fighting flesh right now in this room. We're fighting flesh right now. See, because as long as we talk about miraculous being attached to the day of visitation, we'll shout about it. But the moment we start talking about the fact that we're going to have to repent and crucify flesh in order to witness a day of visitation is a moment that we don't always get as excited. But we're either going to see it or we're not. Repenting. 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 Genuine repentance. Genuine repentance. Allowing the Spirit of God to deal with us. Above and beyond just the fact that we don't do the things we used to do when we were in the world. I don't know of one person in here that's perfect. Repentance for coming to church only when it's convenient. And yet making every sacrifice to make it to work in order to earn a dollar. I'm going to stay home from church and rest up so I can go to work. I'd rather make my money at work than experience God at church. Repenting for the fact that we're not serving God with all of our strength. It's quiet now. Repenting for not serving God with all of our strength. We'll make sacrifices for schools. We'll make sacrifices for clubs. We'll make sacrifices for hobbies. We'll give all of our strength towards those things. And yet, how much strength are we giving towards the things of God? Well, I'm just too busy to participate. I'm good just to show up on Thursdays and Sundays. I'm good just to be there. Just be glad that I'm there. I'm so busy with everything else. And we have to understand the first commandment. The first commandment. The first commandment was to serve God with all of our strength. Repenting for the fact that we've grown cold in our spirits. Used to be you couldn't shut us up about God. Used to be we would outshout everybody. Used to be we'd be the first in the altar worshiping and praising God. We'd be the first in the altar worshiping. We'd be the last to leave the altar. Now we can't even stick around for a baptism. I'm not being mean, am I? Repenting that our knowledge of God has increased because we've sat and fed and fed and fed and fed and fed. And our knowledge of God has increased, and yet our worship of the God that we now know more about has decreased. We know more about God than we've ever known, and we worship Him less than we've ever worshiped Him. Repenting for going days on end without ever talking to the Lord outside of a church service. Repenting for only reading our Bibles when we're at church. Repenting for holding negative feelings against a brother or a sister in the Lord. I don't smoke anymore. I don't do drugs anymore. But I'm murdering my brother and my sister in my mind. Anger, bitterness. It's a spirit of murder. You don't act it out, but it's the same spirit. Repenting for not teaching a Bible study in years. Repenting for allowing fleshly, carnal things, laziness to keep us from doing God's will. Repenting for unsubmitted attitudes and unsubmitted ways. Repenting for allowing the spirit of mammon to control our life. Repenting for living one way when we're at church and another way when we're outside of these four walls. Repenting for desiring the things of this world more than we desire the things of God. I want this. I want this. If I could just have this. If I could just have this, and I'll work for it, and I'll strive for it, and I'll push for it, and I'll do whatever I have to do, and I'll sacrifice whatever I have to sacrifice to get a little bigger this or a little nicer this. And the Lord is saying, I wonder what you could do in the kingdom if you had that same kind of passion for the things of God. Repenting, repenting, repenting for putting more effort into the accomplishments of this life rather than truly doing what God has called us to do, repentance. And this is what I'm talking about. There is a divine connection. I'm almost done. But there is a divine connection between a day of repentance and a day of visitation. And God is speaking to us. And I'm feeling it in the last couple of services. I'm feeling some people where you're beginning to sense some wrongness about your living. You're beginning, and I've almost sensed it these last several services as I've watched and walked by you in prayer, and I've seen you praying and crying out to God. It was almost as if some realities of your sin was sitting in. Some realities of how far you have to go is sitting in. The realities of your shortcomings are sitting in. And what I'm trying to tell you is that is not at all a bad thing. That is not at all God trying to judge you. He's not trying to condemn you. He's convicting you. Because there's a place for you in his day of visitation, and he's trying to position. There's enough people saying no to his spirit when he convicts them about their wrong. He's got enough of those people that will never experience their place in the day of visitation. But if you'll just say, yes, God, convict me, God, chasten me, God, rebuke me, God, whatever you got to do to change me, I want to be ready in order for you to position me in my proper place in that day of visitation. Stand to your feet, would you? I hear the Holy Ghost speaking to us tonight and saying, I wish my people were as excited about me dealing with them in rebuking and chastening as they were with me dealing with them in the miraculous. I wish my people were open. I wish my people would be open and accepting of my chastening spirit as they are with my supernatural spirit. Why? Because in this day of visitation, it's going to be so big. It's going to be something like we've never experienced before. But in that day, as God leads and as God leads the path and as God moves forward and breaks down everything that would hinder the moving of his spirit, coming behind him is going to be an army. Coming behind him is going to be an army of people. Coming behind him is going to be a church that is going to take hold, and they are going to begin to operate in this day of visitation. And he's going to give them anointings for this day. And he's going to give them callings for this day. And he's going to give them specific purposes for this day. But it's going to take people. It's going to take men and women and students and children that are willing to say, God, chasten me. God, rebuke me. God, position me through rebuking to the place where I'm willing to repent of everything that is not of you and that is not right, everything that does not measure up to your word. I'm willing to repent of it, God, because I understand there's a connection. Would you lift your hands? Halabosata.